Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone. This is Veronica Monet, and it's also the 4th of July. So if you happen to be listening to us in the continental United States or even Alaska or Hawaii, happy 4th of July. And if you're listening outside of the U.S., say happy 4th of July anyway. But it's a Saturday, and I have a very special topic. Now, I don't know if some of you tuned in. Here locally, I was on the news, did the Fox 40 segment on those cheating websites. They've got these websites now, like Ashley Madison. They advertise them pretty blatantly, and they're set up for married people, and probably people that are living together, too, who want to have an affair without their spouse knowing about it. So there's a lot of this going on. A lot of the recent surveys have showed that about 50% of married people will at some point in the marriage have an affair. And, of course, very rarely do they spouse about it. So it's kind of a clandestine thing. And then, of course, we've had a lot of politicians within the last year come out. Seems like a lot of Republican politicians in particular have come out to confess to us that they're having affairs. And, of course, I think it's Mark Sanborn, politician who just got caught in South America with his younger journalistic lover, and he can't seem to get enough airtime to talk about his affair. Even went so far as to call her a soulmate. So, it's an interesting topic, and joining me today is a young woman by the name of Amanda. And Amanda, I'm going to let her tell her story in her own words. Amanda, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. I appreciate it.
It's fun to have you here. So why don't you start
here?
First of all, just tell us your age and your education, because it kind of give our listeners a little feel for who you are.
Definitely, definitely. I'm 26 years old. I have a bachelor's in English, work in public relations, and really that's probably all I can really say. I don't have my master's yet or anything.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you work in public relations. Now, are you married or living with a boyfriend or just dating?
I was living with a boyfriend, but moved out in late 2008, actually.
Okay.
So he and I are still together. I just have my own place now.
Ah. Now, that's an interesting path to take. Usually people live together, and then they wind up getting married or something.
Why do you
guys went in the opposite direction there?
Honestly, a lot of it had to do with we had a lot of differences regarding our sexual life. And I think a lot of that led to sort of a separation between the two of us. And I don't know, we were just very different, you know. And it was hard to live with someone who wasn't as motivated as me. So I thought, best for both of us if I get my own place and do my own thing for a bit. So far it's been great. I'm loving living by myself.
It's so
yeah.
Bad, is it?
It's great. I love the independence. And yeah, independence is a fabulous thing.
I live by myself, too. I've been divorced now for 5 years, and I miss being married a lot.
Yeah.
And yet, I have to say that having your own space and keeping your own hours, boy, that feels good.
Oh, yeah, and decorating an apartment just the way you want it to. I mean, that's amazing. Like, really personalizing. And that's one thing that I didn't get when I was living with my boyfriend. It was a lot more, you know, his taste, so.
Yeah. Well, now, why do you suppose you guys stayed together? What's that about?
It's strange, you know, the people who do know that I've had my indiscretions, they wonder why I've stayed with him, and I love him very much. It's just strange. He's my best friend. I haven't opened up to anyone like I have to him, but you know, it's hard to shake something like that. Do you know what I mean?
I actually do. Very, very intimately, I know what you mean, because my ex-husband's my best friend, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's hard. It's a hard thing to shake, for sure. So.
Well, now, let's talk a little bit about the sex. How old is
he? How was it with he?
No, how old is he?
Oh, how old is he? He's about 28 years old.
Okay, so you're... Guys are, for all intents and purposes, you're the same age.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's college educated too, I take it?
Yeah, yeah. He's more in the history side, though.
Okay.
You know, we've been to the same school, both have, you know, just a bachelor's, but we're both very busy.
Oh, wow. So that you met at school then?
Yes, we did. Yes, it was kind of a romantic situation, but, yeah.
It sounds very romantic.
It was.
Now, your sex life when you first met in college, was it real hot and heavy?
You know, it was actually, it's funny, we started out on a really good note. We both wanted to wait a little bit, get to know each other better before we, you know, took that plunge, you might say. And so that was really, really positive, I think. And then things were good. I mean, they were hot and heavy in the sense that, you know, we were really into each other, and but it wasn't so hot and heavy that we were constantly, you know, being physical. There was a lot more to our relationship. So, yeah, I hope that answers the question.
Okay, and so now, see, if you're 26, and what year were you in school when you guys met?
I graduated from college in 2005. Yeah.
Is that when you met? Was it when you graduated?
We met when I was 21, actually. So we were for quite a while. And the interesting thing is, my last year of college, he actually had already moved away and had moved back home. So we had a long-distance relationship for about a year. So I don't know if that had an effect on us, but it was strange how easily we had a long-distance relationship. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was content because I was happy knowing that, you know, he was there, one day we'd be together. But my friends were always, you know, questioning, like, do you feel safe knowing that he's in another state? Do you think that he would cheat on you? I'm like, no, it's never been like that. So when we did come back together, it all kind of made sense. I'm wondering if maybe he's just not as sexual of a person. I don't know. Very strange.
So you're pretty sure that he never cheated on you?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I really honestly have no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind.
Ever asked him point, have you ever asked him point blank?
No, I haven't. Well, I've never even suspected. I probably shouldn't. I know it sounds kind of assumptive on my part to, you know, believe that he might have never done that, but it's like it all would almost be too much of an exhaustion for him. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry?
You said it would be almost too much of a what for him?
Of an exhaustion. I can't imagine him, you know, exerting himself that much. Is that horrible?
That's terrible. So you're saying, okay, let me get this straight. I think I got to Twitter this. You're saying your boyfriend is too lazy to have an affair.
Exactly. That's exactly. You pegged it. How sad, right?
Well, of course, I remains to be seen whether or not he actually is, but it's very sad to have that opinion of him.
Yeah. He's too tired.
That's funny. Okay. Now let's back up a little bit here. I am actually Twittering that, by the way. Twitter's great, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
I said Twitter's great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Twitter's fabulous.
Yeah. So, okay. I still want to get some idea, excuse me, what the sex was like when you guys first met. Now, you met when you were 21?
Yes, and actually at the time the sex was really good. It was much more sweet than it was ever, you know, all out sex romp. You know, it was very sweet, but there was definitely a heat there. There was a lot of romance. But then it was almost as if after that year, I mean, we visited each other a couple times that year that we had the long-distance relationship, but when I, you know, finally moved to the same state as him, it was almost as if he'd forgotten what foreplay was. He'd completely forgotten. And it was kind of strange, you know, I don't want to get graphic to you or whatever, but, you know.
Actually, you know, the Safe Free Zone is an adult channel, so you can get as graphic as you want.
Awesome. Okay, well, basically, he would just come over to me. He would talk to me in a baby voice, which was always kind of disturbing to me. He would, you know, go, "Hello, sweetie, are you ready for some loving?" Something like that. And then just kind of come over to me, take off my clothes, and insert. Yeah, basically.
He needs some lessons in lovemaking.
It was terrible. It was terrible. My God. And you know what's even worse? He stopped wanting to kiss. And I think kissing is just so essential for the excitement level, really. So when that didn't find, it was impossible.
So he did kiss in the beginning, but then he stopped wanting to kiss.
Yeah, yeah. And I would ask, you know, is something wrong with me? You know, do I have bad breath? You know, and he would always say, no, it's not you. I'm just not that big into kissing. And that to me was kind of shocking. Yeah.
Yeah, we're sure that he wasn't seeing prostitutes.
What?
Well, the reason that I asked this, Amanda, is because that, you know, prostitutes don't usually kiss on the mouth.
Yeah. It reminded me of that. Is that Pretty Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember that. No, it's kind of like that.
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you, as a former escort, I can tell you exactly why that don't kiss on the mouth, because your rectum has fewer germs than your mouth does. And you know how anxious you would be to kiss a stranger on his rectum, right? But it would be safer for your health if you did.
Uh-huh.
The mouth carries a lot of germs.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, and, you know, if you're in close proximity to people all day, it's kind of like being an elementary school teacher. You're just going to always have the flu or the cold or the measles or something, so you learn how to protect yourself. And that's not the whole thing, though. The other thing is, almost all professional sex providers have got a personal relationship, and they like to think that they save something for that personal life, you know? So oftentimes the kissing becomes the thing. It's like, well, I'm having intercourse or oral sex with strangers, but I don't kiss them because I do that with the person that I'm in love with.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, did you feel like he was loving you less or falling out of love with you or anything?
I wondered for a while if he was falling out of love with me. And I'd ask him, I would say, you know, this is weird. We're not connecting like we should be. And he said, no. He just said, I'm not that sexual of a person. I don't like to kiss that much. And, you know, that never sat well with me. But as he's gone by, which, sadly to say, it has been years, he's still ever attentive boyfriend. He's wonderful in every aspect except sexually. So, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, here's another question that I would ask you.
Uh-huh.
If he's not seeing prostitutes and he's too lazy to cheat on you.
Right.
Is there any chance that this guy's in the closet about being gay?
Everyone says this. No, I wondered the same thing because, I mean, not to be cliche or whatever, but he's very in touch with his feelings, you know what I mean? But I don't think so. I mean, my sister, okay, she's a lesbian, and so is my mom, actually. And so they believe they have their own sense of gaydar, and both of them are like, no way, this guy's completely straight. He's just, I guess, they think he's kind of sexual.
Huh.
So.
Wow.
I know.
Well, you know, there's one more thing to consider, and that is childhood sexual abuse.
That's interesting. You know, he said he had kind of a traumatic childhood, and he won't talk about it very much. So, I don't know. I was thinking about seeing a couples counselor to kind of maybe hopefully get some of that out, because he won't talk about it. Basically, can I tell you something kind of disturbing?
Yes.
At least in my mind, it's disturbing. When I was college and we first started dating, he told me that his parents were dead, and all of our mutual friends thought they, you know, his parents were dead as well, because he always had said that. And then one weekend I went, you know, back to visit him, and there were his parents alive and well. And he'd always said that he was living with his aunt and uncle who had adopted him. He'd made this elaborate story saying that his parents had died in this car crash when he was, I don't know, 11 years old on the way to his birthday party, and he felt guilty his entire life because he had chosen the restaurant for the party. I mean, what an elaborate story, right? It turns out...
It's diabolical.
I know. I mean, the idea of, you know, myself telling, you know, anyone that my parents were dead would just raise a level of anxiety. You know, if I say that, will it come true? You know what I mean? But,
oh, my God, and talk about getting a lot of unwarranted sympathy from your friends.
Yeah, everyone believes that.
Everybody's going to go, oh, you poor dear.
Exactly, yeah.
So they weren't dead.
Yeah, they were not.
and when you found out that they weren't dead, did you confront him?
I did, well, on a very, I didn't confront him as aggressively as I should have. I think I said, you're... Aunt just talked about having a C-section when she gave birth to you. I mean, is this your mom or is this your aunt? And he's like, oh, well, you know, she's my mom. I said, okay, she's your biological mother? And he's just like, yeah. But it was weird. The story kind of changed each time I'd ask him about this, because that first time I confronted him, he said that, yes, this was his mother, but his brother was his brother from a second marriage. So they weren't, you know, completely related. And then it turns out his brother is, in fact, his brother from the same father. So the story just kept changing and changing until finally he admitted, yeah, this is his entire biological family.
Now, I have to put you on the spot here, Amanda, and just ask you to look at the logic of how you've made this assumption that you know what the sexual behavior of your boyfriend is when he's so adept at lying that he's convinced you and all the friends at college that his parents had died. And obviously, he doesn't have a problem lying to the people that he loves. So it would seem highly unlikely that the only lie he's ever told you is this particular one about his mom and dad being dead, which, by the way, is a huge lie. That's enormous. I mean, he really has to kind of go through a certain amount of splitting off in order to be able to carry that out. Do you know what I mean? Hey, Amanda, are you back with us, dear?
I am. I'm so sorry about that. I think all the 4th of July festivities just got to me.
I don't know. We're kind of thinking we're having technical difficulties in our studio, but my apologies to you and the listeners out there who all of a sudden found themselves listening to advertisements. So I was putting you on the spot. Are you ready for me?
I'm ready for you. Bring it. Bring it as
okay.
much as you can.
All right. So this is the question. If your boyfriend has the nerve to tell one of the biggest, boldest lies I've ever heard, which is my parents are dead, and not just to you, but to all your friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How could you invest a lot of faith in anything else that he says?
I guess I couldn't. I mean, that's a really, really good question. I think maybe in some ways I blind myself to it. I won't think that, you know, he's not some psycho or whatever. No, not that he is, but you never know.
Well, he doesn't have to be a psycho, but he could be a pathological liar. And I guess, you know, I'm just saying, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. I know that's an archaic little saying there, but seriously, man, this guy did not tell you that his parents were alive until you found him out and called him out on it. And now he's acting weird, like he doesn't want to kiss you when you guys have sex. But, of course, he says everything's fine. He's just not into kissing. And I don't know. That just doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't sound like the truth.
I think you might be right. But what does a girl do? Should I just see? I prodded. I poked. I've seen a sex therapist for years. I mean, should I just give up on this guy? I mean, is there
hope? You've seen a sex therapist. Has he been coming with you?
He won't go.
Yeah, see? And what about couples counseling? Will he do anything like that?
He wouldn't, but recently we talked about it. So he said he's willing to do it. He has an HMO, so he's going to need to find the therapist, which I think is actually a good idea. He needs to take charge of this problem. I did all the work before, so.
Well, I mean, you're young. You're 26, my God. Amanda, you got your life ahead of you. So the first thing I would say is you don't really have to stick around with somebody that sounds like they have so many deep, dark problems.
Yeah.
And if there's any part of you at all that wants to cut loose, get free of this, walk away, and go find somebody else who's not so messed up, I'd say do it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you are just, your soul is screaming out that you've got to see this to the end, and you don't want to say goodbye to him because he's your best friend, as you said, and well, then therapy can be an interesting and profitable journey, but...
Yeah.
But you...
You know, it's interesting that you say that the thing about him being my best friend. I know I did say that. But I think the reason he's my best friend is because when we got together, he's not a very social person. He kind of would isolate me in the house. So I don't really have any friends anymore. So I think that I'm really looking at this through some distorted eyes. You know?
So you don't have any friends because he's antisocial, or did he kind of, you know, orchestrate your life that way?
It's strange. When I moved in with him, I was new to the area, you know, didn't really know anyone, and he's actually an alcoholic, I've got to say. He's got some alcohol problems.
Okay.
And so we would stay indoors all the time. Basically, all his friends left, and so I got very accustomed to being just around him, you know, no one else. So I have to say I've relied on him quite a bit and lost a lot of my identity. So I do know downside that this is not going to work, and that I am young and I should find someone else, but how? You know, when so much of myself is in him, it's a sad conundrum.
Well, it's not a conundrum at all. But by the way, if so much of yourself has become him, then the answer is quite clear. You've got to get yourself in a healthier emotional place. But so it's not a conundrum, because conundrum denotes that we're confused and don't know what a proper course of action is. But that said, it is incredibly difficult. It's very difficult. You know, in a lot of ways, it sounds like you are somebody who has a great deal of insecurity and dysfunction under the surface, but you're high-functioning on the outside, so you're holding this great job. You're a very powerful, assertive woman. You were able to move out on your own, and yet underneath all that, you're still actually very dependent.
Oh, yeah. I am. I really am. It's so hard to admit.
Well, most of those answers come from our own childhood. So the first thing we have to do is we have to get our focus off of the partner, because, you know, a lot of times we think, well, if they would just this or just that, everything would be okay.
Yeah.
Now, so you've been seeing a sex therapist, but have you actually seen a therapist who could work with you on maybe some codependency issues?
I did see just a regular therapist, and she did actually have a lot to say about me being codependent. My mom was very much the same way. My dad was a very kind of dominating person, and she actually just kind of, he's Indian, and all their friends were Indian. And so my mom, who's actually white, sort of became this Indian woman. She'd dress in the clothing, she could speak Hindi fluently, and she really is kind of the epitome of what I might become. And my therapist pointed that out to me, that, you know, I'm on that path, and all she can see, she's afraid that one day I'll just be on, you know, walking down the aisle in that white dress and wondering where the hell my life went, you know. So she's right on about that.
Well, that's and it's a complex quagmire. It really is, because we are a product of our childhoods and our cultural background, and you know, there's, how do you satisfy, this would be the thing that I would say, you need to search for an answer to this question. How do you satisfy the part of you that wants to be connected and loved and cared for without abdicating all the other identities that are important to you, like being independent and career-oriented? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like we kind of, as women, we've got this tug-of-war where it's either or. Either I give up my identity, I get married, and there I will feel loved and cared for. Or I divorce myself from all that nurturing and love and family, and I just become this hardened career woman who says I don't need that.
It makes it, people make it seem like it's one or the other. You just can't have both. And
I'm starting to feel that might be the case. You know, the culture that you're coming out of is pretty much saying that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So I would say you need to develop your own idea about what's possible and transcend some of those limitations and say, you know what, I can be loved and supported and and vulnerable and soft and all of these wonderful things. As a whole human being, I have a right to all of that. And I should be able to have my own space and call my own shots and be an independent, you know, motivated individual.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You need to teach a class. You really do.
You know, so the codependency thing, what we want to do is we want to move from codependency into interdependency, because human beings are pack animals. We're not supposed to be alone. You know, that's why we teamed up with the dog, you know, 10,000 years ago or whatever. Might have been even further back in history, but whatever the case, humans and dogs have been traveling together for a long time because they're both pack animals and they love working in groups.
Yeah.
And, you know, the American culture is so much about we're all going to be independent rebels, we're out conquering the West, it's all about the individual. And that can become a pretty lonely path for a human being. You know, we like to have family, we like to have love, we like to be surrounded by people who can support us. But we shouldn't get swallowed up by it.
Because then you drown and that's the end.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the exercises you might be able to do that would help you would be to actually, like, get out a piece of paper and pen if that connects with your soul better than a keyboard. If you are, you know, really connected emotionally with a keyboard, then that's fine. You know, put it into a Word document or something. But actually, like, ask yourself questions about what would my perfect life look like? Do I want to get married? Do I want to have kids? Or possibly my perfect life would be about having a lot of extended family, you know, and maybe my perfect life is having my own place and my husband or my boyfriend lives somewhere else. Like, give yourself the freedom to just fantasize.
Because it's not just one thing, right? You don't have to just get married and live with your husband and have a joint account, right? You can do different options.
I was married for 13 years and we had separate accounts. We lived in the same house, but we had separate banking accounts, and you know, I worked really hard to try to keep some kind of an economic individual identity. And then I never had children of my own, so I was a step parent, but not a woman who was, you know, into procreating myself.
Right.
So those are options, and you know, there have been people who have had wonderful marriages, and they've lived bicoastal, like he's, you know, in one city and she's in another.
Wow. Now,
sometimes that does require a little bit of open-mindedness, like, you know, we're married and we love each other, but my career takes me here, your career takes you there, and it could be that we're going to occasionally have sex with other people.
Wow. So people do that.
Oh, absolutely. That's called an open marriage.
Wow, that makes sense. Actually, that kind of makes sense. That really does. I always wondered about that.
there's lots of options for human beings to be happy. There's polyamory. Now, are you familiar with that word?
Yeah, just a bit.
Well, a lot of people think polyamory is some kind of swinger thing, like they're having sex with a bunch of people.
Right.
Actually, polyamory is like a new vision of family. So it usually does have a sexual component to it. So they may be having sex with all these different people, but oftentimes it's not necessarily about sex. Sometimes it's about child care and owning a home together and, you know, trying to figure out who's going to take care of who if you get sick. And it becomes very much about having this large extended family that's very supportive.
Yeah. That actually sounds very nice.
And, you know, for some people that's preferable to relying upon their parents, especially if they feel like their family of origin is not very supportive. Now, Amanda, did we lose you again, or are you still there?
I should be here. Can you hear me okay?
Well, we are just not having a lot of luck with the phones today, folks.
I'm sorry. Let me move.
Can
you hear me all right
looks
now?
Looks like Amanda has been lost to the ether once again. So, for those of you who are tuning in, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the options there are to not having to lie about stepping outside of your relationship. Is she with me? Amanda?
I am. I'm so sorry. There's a plane overhead.
Oh, okay.
You're probably like, what is that awful sound?
I just could not hear your voice, babe.
Oh, I'm here.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Amanda. So right now, at the age of 26, what do you think your life would like? What you would like your life to look like right now, today? What's your wet dream?
My wet dream? Is that what you said?
Your wet dream, you betcha. You're allowed to have a wet dream.
Oh, my gosh. I've just never heard anyone say that before. What would my dream be just in general? What would my life would be like?
You know, would you have a boyfriend, three boyfriends, a girlfriend?
You know, honestly, I think I would be single. Well, no, that's not true. I would like to have my boyfriend in my life as my emotional, my guy. But I'd also like to have sex with other people.
Yeah.
Is that terrible?
No,
I mean, honestly,
not
just
though.
Because I don't remember what it's like to have good, you know? I don't remember what that passion feels like, and a part of me feels like it's died. And I just want to know if I'm really missing out on something.
Hey, you know, if your boyfriend's not kissing you anymore, that your passion has died, sweetheart.
Yeah, you're right.
Huh?
I needed to face the facts. I know, right? It's so sad.
Well, it doesn't mean that the love has died. I mean, these are two separate things. He may very well love you as best as he's capable of. But as far as sexual passion, I mean, if he's not willing to kiss you, did you know the chimpanzees and bonobos kiss? I mean, all primates kiss. That's in your wiring. I mean, that's a huge thing to give up there.
Yeah, it
kind of turns the sex act into a very mechanical thing.
It has become that way, very much so. You know, it's funny, when we visit each other, I make sure to have sex with him once a week, just to make sure that I can check it off on my list, you know?
Oh, God.
Isn't that horrible?
I'm sorry.
It's so sad. Like, I make sure, you know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're kind of peeing on a fire hydrant, but all right. So you make sure you claim that dick is yours.
That's right.
Now, you said that you have a really strong libido. Are you having sex with other people?
I have a couple times. I feel really bad. Well, actually, honestly, I don't. I went back home to visit my family last year, and there was a friend there, a friend that I'd always had kind of a mutual flirtation with. And it was, you know, always very mild, but night. I mean, I was visiting, and he wanted to go out and hang out at our old usual haunts and just dance it up. And, I mean, I hadn't gone out of the house in so long because I had isolated myself so much with this guy, and it was almost as if I'd just taken this magic pill and I was myself again. You know, I felt completely normal. And we went out, had a great time, and then it just happened. And, I mean, I was awakened, as cheesy as that sounds. I just realized then and there how wrong it all had been. And since then, yeah, I've cheated a couple times with different people. But it's always when I go back home to visit. I never do it here, where I'm currently living.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm assuming you haven't told him about it.
No.
What do you think he'd do if he found out?
He would be very upset, obviously, right? But honestly, I'm not sure whether he would end it or if he would just keep me around. Because I think he's just as dependent on me as I am on him.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have friends either. And I mean,
so he's not the kind of guy that gets angry and violent, is he?
Yeah, well, he gets very angry so easily. It's very weird. So I'm afraid to kind of, you know, if I told him, I'd be very afraid. Not that he would actually hurt me, but it might be too much.
So you don't have a fear for your physical safety then?
No, I don't think he would actually hurt me. I just know what he would do.
Yeah.
To the rest of the world.
So your main fear is then of being rejected.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like without him.
Well, you guys have been together for quite some time now. It's about 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
a chunk of life, right there.
What?
Oh, it's just a chunk of life.
Well, it is, but it's only going to get worse, you realize. The longer you stay with this person, the more it becomes like he's all you've ever known.
Yeah, you're right.
What's happening right now between the two of you is not something that is sustainable. You can't go on like this for the next 40 years. I mean, you could. Some people have and are right now today, unfortunately. But here's some of the things that will come from living like this. Mm-hmm. Eventually, there's going to be a certain amount of depression because that's anger turned inward. We get angry at our partner because they're not meeting our needs. We get angry at ourselves because we are not meeting our needs. Next thing you know, you get depressed and you don't know why. So then you go on some kind of antidepressant to try to fix that. And then the antidepressant has an effect on your ability to function sexually. So then the next thing you know, you're into Viagra or testosterone patches. You get the picture here?
I'm sorry?
Do you kind of get the overall picture of what happens?
Yeah.
You're right, definitely. You avoid your feelings, and you start lying about what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
And it becomes a way of kind of killing the relationship and killing yourself. But it happens very slowly over time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I'm sure you heard this story about the frog. You put the frog in a pot of water and you just turn it on a very low heat so that it comes to a boil very slowly.
Yeah.
And the frog will never move out of that water. He'll just boil to death. And
interesting.
A lot of people are doing this to themselves in their relationships. They're just kind of a frog sitting in that water, and the relationship just keeps getting less and less satisfying, but they've become numb to it.
Yeah. It's funny. I think that's really what's happened. Like, if I look back years on my life, I mean, I never would have stood for this if it had just happened, you know, immediately. Here's this guy who wants to date me and he won't have sex with me. I would have said, hell no. But over the years, just putting up with every little change, I've become so, I don't know. I've really adjusted to it and not in a good way.
Right.
I am like that frog. I'm that frog. I'm kind of so sad.
Well, there's signs of life because you have had sex outside the relationship. I actually kind of see that as a positive because you said it awakened you.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was amazing.
But the thing is that you've got to get back on, you've got to get on a track that has integrity to it. So you need to be able to tell your truth.
Yeah.
And you know, and if he breaks up with you, he breaks up with you. He'll probably be doing you a favor. But, you know, I know that's easier said than done. It's like you said, you can't imagine life without him. And I would like to challenge you to do exactly that, you know?
Okay.
Imagine life without him and just, like, write it down. Like, what would that look like? Where would I live? If he wasn't in my life, would I still live in this city, in this state? Would I still be doing this job? Would I still wear these kind of clothes? Would I still color my hair this color? You can ask yourself a lot of different questions about would I be who I am right now if this person wasn't in my life.
Yeah. And I can already say that, no, I would not be a lot of the things that I am. I would be completely different. I mean, there's so many things that I've wanted to do but I haven't done because it kind of went outside the realm of what he thought was, you know, normal for females, or, you know, the female role in the family, you know? So
give me a for instance. Give me a for instance, Amanda.
Wow. Well, let's see. One really good example is going to be, I wanted to get my hair cut. And I didn't want to go, like, super short, but I wanted to go, like, up to a bob, you know, just chin length. And he totally vetoed that and said, I don't like girls with short hair. And I totally didn't cut my hair because of that.
Mm.
And then he wants me to learn to cook. He wants me to be domestic. And these are things I don't want to do, but I pretend to be interested to keep him around. So, I mean, really, I have long hair. I try to cook, but I don't want to do either of those things.
Oh. Yeah, see, and isn't it interesting how much you're bending in his direction? I mean, and he won't even kiss you.
It's so sad, isn't it?
It really
is. I mean, yeah,
is.
You really make it very, very clear there. Like, here I am just, and I get so upset. I cry so much, you know, total depression. But yet, here I am still bending for him, and he won't even kiss me.
And what do you cry about?
A lot of it is actually regret about all the years that have passed, the time that's wasted, just feeling like this and being alone. I mean, that's really the big deal. I mean, I'm 26, and so I'm just getting older every day.
Well, you're a baby, but I want to tell you something. That whole thing that we, all of us as human beings, have grief about the fact that we have endured or put up with something that's unacceptable to us. Because every single one of us has some area in our life where we're not living to our full potential and we're not actually showing up for the things that we want and that could be. And some of it's because we're afraid of success, and some of it's because we're afraid of failure, and some of it's because we're trying to please other people. There's a lot of reasons that it happens. But that is one of the biggest obstacles to change, is that we're afraid that we will find out how much better life could have been all those years.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's just less painful to stay with the thing that we hate so we don't have to grieve that loss of time, that wasted time.
Yeah. You're so right. Like, that's so what it is.
And there's really only one thing you can do with that. You can either just say, I am going to screw up the rest of my life so that I can justify these last 5 years.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go make the life I want.
Yeah.
And, you know, those 5 years, oh, well. You know? Hopefully, no matter how much, you know, we've messed up, we learn something. So, you know, we can also change our attitude. It's not like we wasted that time. We were busy learning that this doesn't work for me.
Yes, I can safely say I have learned that. Definitely.
Yes. But the other side of this is that there is something about the relationship that does work for you.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to write that down, too, and actually list out the payoffs. What are the things about this relationship that do work for me? Now, sometimes those answers are very surprising, Amanda.
Yeah.
Because it can be things like, the fact that my boyfriend refuses to be intimate with me means that I don't have to be up against my fear of intimacy.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't make myself look particularly attractive anymore either. I don't have to put on makeup, so that's kind of a nice crutch.
Well, okay.
Nothing to work for.
You could find boyfriends that wouldn't need you to wear makeup.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that should be you wear makeup because you want to wear makeup. I enjoy putting it on. But I do. It's for me, it's my palette. It's like I'm painting a picture.
Ooh, I like that.
Huh? What'd you say?
Oh, I said I like that. That's a very cool little way to look at it. I think of it as like armor, you know.
Well, there's that too. I don't like to feel like I have to wear it.
Yeah, and I do. Maybe this is my way of rebelling against him. Ha ha, I won't wear makeup because you won't have sex with me. That's what you get.
I've been there. I'll do whatever I want because you're not doing sex.
Yeah, exactly. The ultimate revenge. Kiss this.
Why should I dress the way you want me to dress? You're not doing the sex the way I want you to do it.
Right. Yeah. You're right. That's totally
what Well, now, there's another serious problem that you mentioned. You said your boyfriend's an alcoholic.
Yeah, he is.
Now, do you have alcoholism in your family?
I do. It runs on my mom's side, actually. And my grandpa was a bit of a, you know, he was an alcoholic. But he was a very messy drunk. I mean, you could tell when he was drunk. But my boyfriend, he drinks a lot, but never seems to be drunk. So I've always kind of wondered, you know, is he really not an alcoholic? But he's always drinking. And his family, they're all the same way. It's just strange. I don't know. I mean, can you be a drunk without showing it?
Well, has he lost a job or gotten in a car wreck or gotten a DUI or?
No, well, he almost got a DUI, just the other week. But, no, nothing has really happened.
He's only 28, right?
Yeah.
Usually, I mean, as far as alcoholism is really defined by its effect on your life. So, is it possible for you to drink every day and not be an alcoholic? It's not likely, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Let's say at his age, he may be able to get by with that. But at some point, the body is going to develop a dependency.
Yeah.
So he may not have started off as an alcoholic mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, like some people are kind of born into it on those, you know, dimensions. But eventually, the body will develop a dependency. Drinking massive amounts of alcohol and never have any effect on your liver and never wind up with the DTs, you know, which is delirium tremors.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you'll become one if you're not now.
Oh, my God.
You know, not a good idea. 28, he's 2 years from 30. This would be a good time to be slowing down on the drinking. I mean, most kids really do drink like crazy little fish in college. I know I did,
but he drinks alone.
He drinks alone. That's not good. I was drinking alone in college, too, and I'm a recovering alcoholic, so.
Oh, wow.
But you know, there's no way you're going to face that until you get the DUI and you go to jail and they fire you from your job and you wreck the car, and I've done all that.
Oh, wow. You have lived.
You know, it removes all shred of doubt.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow. So do you think he needs that moment?
Well, I think what's more important here, rather than trying to figure out if he's an alcoholic or not, is to ask yourself why you'd want to put up with somebody who's drinking alone, drinking a lot, lying to you about major things, like whether his parents are alive or dead, and then not having sex with you as often as you would like it, and then when you do have sex, it's a mechanical act that he's not kissing you.
Yeah.
You know, you need to, like, list all these things that are really, they're big things, Amanda. They're not small. It's not like this guy is just not doing his share of the housework or forget to take the trash out.
That's for sure. Definitely not that.
And it's not like you just shut down and would rather watch football than work on your relationship. Those are those are the kind of common problems that men and women deal with.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You've got some big issues on the table here.
I think so. Oh, it's overwhelming.
You too. And you know, the fact that your behavior now is to go in the direction of being dishonest and having affairs, you're really kind of getting on board for this kind of a lifestyle. So you got to ask yourself some hard questions. Is this how you want to sell off into the sunset, that you and your husband don't really connect or communicate, but you have a kind of a codependent, sick need for each other, and meanwhile...
I'm already saying no.
God only knows where he's actually... He's probably kissing somebody out there. Just not you. You know, maybe not. Maybe he's just so emotionally shut down he can't kiss anybody. I really don't know.
He kisses the cat. He loves the cat, that's for sure.
He kisses the cat?
Yeah, he talks to the cat and like tucks it in. It's very creepy.
Oh, my God, this is terrible.
I know. I'm so sorry about the noise.
That's okay. Now, what city are you in?
I am in, what is this area I'm in right now? I'm in Redondo Beach.
In Southern Cal?
Yes.
Southern Cal, yeah. Well,
yeah.
I'm up here in the Tahoe Forest, so I haven't heard a siren for a long time.
Oh, I think it's all the kids out here getting crazy.
Probably. A little fire here and a little fire there, you know.
That's right. Oh, gosh.
Well, we have a few minutes left here, so let me ask you. What else is it that you would like to ask me, or that maybe something I can do for you before we have to go?
Well, yeah, you know, I got lots of questions for you.
Go for it. Ask away.
You know, this question is kind of a weird one, but it has a lot to do with how our relationship has gone. As things kind of changed in our relationship, I found that he was talking to me like a little child, kind of, you know, with a baby talk voice, and he would tuck me in at night, and he bought me this teddy bear. He'd, like, tuck it in with me, and I'm almost kind of freaked out by the fact that maybe he looks at me as more of, like, a child than he does, like, a sexual partner. Does that happen?
Yeah, you know, so it does sound like he has shifted. Now, the first thing that comes up for me, again, I don't know him. Nor have I seen you guys interact with each other. But from what you're telling me, that would sound a little bit kind of like a splitting. Like, if I really love you and care about you, I can't have hot, nasty sex with you.
Right. Right? Like, he's totally separating the two?
Right, exactly. And I have a name for that. I call it the Whore Madonna Complex.
Oh,
and
right.
There are many men in this world who basically, you know, they may have hot, nasty sex with the woman, but as soon as they walk down that aisle and have their first child, they say goodbye to that hot, nasty sex, sometimes because the wife can't imagine being a mother and having hot, nasty sex, and sometimes because the husband can't imagine. Here's a really disgusting quote that I've heard more than once. My wife kisses my children with that mouth. So I wouldn't want her to, like, have oral sex with me because she kisses my children with that mouth. So,
wow.
So there is this, you know, like a mother is, you know, who's the most famous mother ever in history?
The most famous mother?
The most famous mother in all history, on all human history.
Oh,
it's the Virgin Mary.
Oh, right, right.
So that's kind of an impossible role model there. She got pregnant without actually having sex.
Right.
Well, that doesn't happen in real life. So, but a lot of women will have a baby, and then it's like they're trying to regrow their cherry, you know?
Oh, my God.
They're a virgin. And you know, the whole society kind of gets on board for that. Like, if you're a mother, then your makeup, you probably wouldn't wear, like, bright red lipstick or high heels.
Right.
You're going to wear cute little white lacy blouses and pastels.
Right. You're going to be muted.
Exactly. Yes, because that's what a good mother does. And,
right.
You know, a lot of men will really buy into this, and they have an idea about how they want the mother of their children to behave sexually, how they want her to dress.
Wow. That sounds like my boyfriend.
It really does.
I feel like he's mapped it out.
Well, it sounds like he's having, this is probably one of his disconnects. He can't really merge the two. And it might, I don't know. It could explain why he doesn't want to kiss during sex, because maybe that would marry intimacy and passion. That would bring love and sex together. And
yeah.
He's more comfortable having them separate from each other. So if he's going to have sex with you, then he doesn't want to kiss you. And if he's going to kiss you, he wants to give you a teddy bear and tuck you into bed.
Weird. That's creepy. I'm creeped out by that. Are you
creeped out?
I
think you should be creeped out. I do. I don't think any of the things that you've told me about him sound particularly normal.
Okay, good, as long as it's not just me. Wow.
Well, you know, I got to go back to the childhood sexual abuse stuff. It sounds like there's some trauma around there.
Yeah, I agree.
Do
you think he should see a therapist to kind of deal with that, or?
Oh, he needs a therapist big time.
Okay. I have to agree with you.
Big time. I'm thinking you could go to some Codependence Anonymous meetings and probably pull yourself out of this okay, but I think he's going to need some serious help.
Okay.
Good. It's very, very perverse to tell everybody that your parents are dead.
Yeah, that's really creepy. Okay.
And then the fact that he doesn't come back out and say, hey, I was joking, or the reason I said it was because I wasn't getting along with my parents. He doesn't take any responsibility for it. When you finally catch him out on it, he's just like, yeah, okay, well, it's my parents. It's like he never really owns up to it.
It's so crazy. Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I feel a bit better now.
And why do you feel better, Amanda?
Because, I mean, it's like, being alone with him for so long, I start to think that it's just me. That I feel weird, and I don't know why, and that this is really normal. And hearing you kind of, you know, break it down, I get the sense that it's not just me. I mean, there are things that I need to work on. Obviously, I cheated on him and everything, and I'm codependent. But hearing you discuss it makes me feel a lot more normal.
Yeah. It validates your feelings. Definitely. Don't abandon yourself, you know. As soon as you start hearing voices like, oh, it must just be me and I must be imagining it or I'm making a big deal out of anything.
Yeah.
Remember, all of those voices are basically designed to help women invalidate their own perceptions.
Wow. That's sad.
Just refuse to do that. You know, when you hear those voices inside your head, just say no. No, you know what? My feelings really do matter. And here's the thing about the way you feel, Amanda. If you're creeped out, you're uncomfortable, you're not happy, it doesn't matter what's real. Your feelings are real. And in relationships nowadays, you know, we're not looking for people to support us or help us raise 10 kids. We get into relationships to satisfy our emotional needs.
Oh my gosh. I'm so, so sorry.
Oh, don't worry about that. But if your emotional needs are not being met, then you really got to ask yourself why you're in a relationship.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. I don't know.
Well,
I need to figure that out.
You need to know what your payoffs are. Look for the payoffs.
Yeah.
And then the next step, once you figure out why am I doing this self-destructive thing, it obviously works for me on some level. And if you can write it out so that you can look at it and be acquainted with it, don't judge yourself. Don't be harsh on yourself. Just say, okay,
yeah.
I am choosing to be in this dysfunctional situation because it meets needs A through C.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to get those needs met anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then you just sit with that for a while, and then the next thing you would do would be to challenge yourself to see if there are other ways that you could get those needs met without being in a dysfunctional situation.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So think of that as like, you know, the work, and I want you to know something. Thinking these thoughts in your head goes nowhere. That puts you on something I call the hamster wheel. It just goes round and round and round, and we just keep thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. You actually have to get out the piece of paper and write it down.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It needs to be tangible in front of my face.
Absolutely. And, you know, you could just do little stages. Do a little piece of homework, push it aside, go on with your life, come back, do another little piece of it, you know, the next week. Like, you can even pick a day out of the week when you're going to work on those sort of things. And it takes like 20 minutes out of your day, and it has this huge power to change your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a great exercise. I think that would really, really help me a lot, actually.
Well, I hope it does. Whatever choices you make, as a matter of fact, I'm going to invite you to come back on the show again maybe in a month or so if you want to check back in with our listeners and let them know what happened and if the homework worked and what decisions you might have made.
Right. This is an intervention. We'll come back with my results. We'll see.
We'll come back. We'll start our own little mini-series. What will Amanda do?
Love it.
All right, Amanda. Well, happy 4th of July, my dear, and whatever you do today, be safe, be happy, and don't forget you know, your perceptions and feelings are what most matter in your life. That's especially when it comes to a relationship. It's the most important thing.
Yeah. That's so true. Oh, you're so helpful. Thank you so much.
I'm glad that we not only got to have fun and share some laughs today, but that hopefully we've gotten you closer to getting yourself to where you want to be in life.
I think so. I think it'll be a good step for me. This will be very good.
All right, dear. I'm going to sign off now. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It was great to talk about it.
No problem. Take care.
Oh, you too.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. At the end.